This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See you live off the record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Gentlemen, to see live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. If you wish to text us, you can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, that's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612, that's BTC Flow Channel 612. I'm supposed to have some special guests with us today to talk about a special launch coming up. I see one my guests, I believe. Is that Brother Higgs?
Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, man? What is going on?
Going excellent, excellent. How are you?
Good. Y'all are still busy, ever busy.
We're doing our best trying to help as much persons as we can. Thank you,
Brother. Yes, indeed. The Bahamas Development Bank. Are we expecting somebody today?
Oh, not today. She's listening
okay.
in.
Okay, wonderful. No problems. Well, again, thank you for joining us. And I know the Bahamas Development Bank has a long history of trying to make available resources to Bahamian entrepreneurs. And I know that it has been evolving over the most recent years in trying to even diversify those offerings. And now you have a special launch coming up called the Fund Launch. A networking reception. So can you tell us about that?
Thank you so much. And I'm really excited that the first place I'll speak to as the managing director of the Development Bank publicly on a radio show is your show. So I'm very excited for that.
Absolutely, man. Welcome and thank you. Absolutely.
So being here a year now, and so the bank has really came together, developed a lot of different services for entrepreneurs. And one of them really is our brokerage side. And what we found is there are so many international and local funds, groups, private entities, and private persons who would like to invest money into entrepreneurs, but they don't want to put their name out there or their brand out there. They receive a lot of clients looking at business plans. They want that intermediary. And you look at so many entrepreneurs who need these type of funding. And so we're the bridge to gap that. And our first fund that we're launching for this brokerage program, we signed an exclusive agreement with C15 Studios. This is a fund from Trinidad where they're looking to invest in projects 500,000 to 1.5 million in the orange economy. And as you know, Chicago, orange economy is one of the hardest areas to find financing because of the way they're structured. We're looking at things like art, beauty, architecture, dance. We don't have the traditional assets that someone manufacturing may have. And so BDB itself is trying to help as many sectors as we can. And the first of many funds to come is the C15 Studio Fund. And they're focused on the orange economy, and they're willing to do debt from 500,000 to 1.5 million in the orange economy. And they're the sole place that they receive those plans from is through the bank, the development bank.
Okay, now this is brilliant, Brother Higgs, I have to say, because as you said, what you're doing also is streamline that search opportunity for the entrepreneur and for the provider of the funds, eh?
Exactly. A better process for both sides, because the bank has been the person who sat in the chair and made decisions of whether you get funding or not. So we are aware of what it takes to decide if someone should get funding and how to the way they get funded. So who better than the bank to say, hey, when we send you, we're preparing you. And once we send you, for sure, we know C15 can accept the fact that BDB is sending them the best clients, persons who are qualified, who can make those payments. And so we're just trying to help in that area as well.
I love this concept, because the lack of information, lack of access is really one of the great challenges to entrepreneurial progress in the country. And a lot of times, as you said, it's not a question of no money being available. The money's there. People want to provide funding for credible things, but sometimes those people don't know really who is a credible opportunity. And then the entrepreneur doesn't know, well, where are these people? And here you have the bank saying, well, you know us. Come, both of you can come to us, and you already have an arrangement with C15 for that purpose.
Exactly. So on June 26th, that's this Monday coming, at between 6 to 8 p.m. will be the event at the National Art Gallery. We'll be launching. We actually have the C15, they're flying down to speak as well. We have Felicia Hanna, the director of the Bahamas Investment Authority, and Brickle Pinder, director of trade and industry for the Ministry of Economic Affairs. We have these coming to speak on this. So one, you're going to hear about the fund, the opportunities, the monies that entrepreneurs can receive by going through this program. Similarly, you get an understanding of the process of monies coming into the country from an international fund through Felicia Hanna. And Brickle Pinder will speak a lot about how do we export the orange economy globally. And so entrepreneurs and the orange economy, those who are currently in it or would like to join that community as an entrepreneur, or those who supplement and benefit from that, this is a great event to come to get the information, see what this fund is about, and also to be aware BDB is launching this arrangement, and we have many more to come for those.
Okay, and the location for the launch is where?
The National Art Gallery, this Monday coming. It starts at 6 p.m. and it ends at 8 p.m.
Okay, and who is open to come? Who should come?
Anyone who can sign up who is interested in the orange economy, whether you have a business now and need funding to get you to the next level, or whether you're thinking of starting something in the orange economy, you should come as well to get this information. And a lot of industry stakeholders will be there as well. So anyone who's interested in understanding how they can benefit from this relationship with the C15 fund, and to speak to them directly, ask the hard questions. We want to be as transparent as possible. Anyone who fits into that area, we'd love for you to sign up, register, and to join.
Now, you know, Mr. Higgs, we know that there are a different number of colors ascribed to sectors of the economy. Correct. So that people are clear in terms of the orange, because somebody might be sitting out there going, okay, am I orange? Am I the blue? You know, am I the green economy? Let's see if we can help people figure out where they fit in that. Because from my understanding, you know, the orange economy is really that creative space. If you are in that intellectual developing space where you are dealing with, as you said, things like architectural works and designs and these kinds of things, if you are in an artist and doing those kinds of things, if you're into sculpturing, it's the creative intellectual space of the economy. Is that true?
You said it completely correct. And thank you for stating that. Sometimes us technical places get stuck there, but the orange economy speaks to the creative space. So those persons who are interested in theater, wellness, sports, technology, photography, music, films, even events, all of the, even carnival art, all of these areas, beauty, all of these things come under that space. And so anyone interested in the orange economy, which is the creative space, we are interested in seeing you there so you can get this information. Something simple as animation, those who really want to get into to designing those and they have this idea, this focus is $1 million, you fit under that range. I think a very good, interesting thing that aligns with that is our Deputy Prime Minister, he met with Netflix's CEO. I don't know if you saw that, but building those relationships, the C50 Studios, as we try to grow the Bahamas orange economy globally, do more films, maybe have a few of these huge studios open up locations in the Bahamas or film more in the Bahamas. This type of funding allows us to grow that area and to actually enjoy those opportunities.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is a lot of times, the people in the cultural space say, oh, they're talking about the people in financial services. They're talking about the people in manufacturing. They're talking about the agricultural people, the fisheries people. But what about us in culture? But culture is deep in that orange economy space. So here's an opportunity for people in that space. The cultural people, they call them, whether you are a junkanoa or you are a singer or you are a dancer or you create a theater. Those are all people, too, who may have business interests in that space, right?
Exactly. You're correct. And we're looking between 500,000. They're looking for projects 500,000, as low as 500,000, up to 1.5 million. And what is clear is this is debt financing. And so we don't want persons to think that it is a grant. So they are looking for opportunities where their business can make a profit and pay back.
Right.
So this is... this is, again, a money-making operation of which we would like to help entrepreneurs see their business come to fruition, allow opportunities to grow and expand this country's GDP and diversify opportunities and jobs in this country. But the reality is there's still a cost to the debt, and you'll find out more information at the event. We'll break it down in those who fit into those buckets. We'd love for you to apply, bring your business plan, and let's get you this financing. And you're looking, we're not only in the orange space. The C15 is one fund where they focus on that. But there are so many other funds that we're working with now as well to create more exclusive and even non-exclusive relationships. We want to provide more opportunities for entrepreneurs around the Bahamas to seek financing, no matter which bucket, whether they're a startup, whether they're existing, whether they're in the blue, green, or orange economy. It doesn't matter what sector you're in. We want to provide as many opportunities as possible for Bahamians to benefit.
You know what is interesting? A Bahamian came to me one day and said, asked me, Mr. Lang, you know, I have a theater crew and we produce films. We produce theater, but we want to go launch into a film, you know? And this is what he said to me, you know how Nigeria's taken off and other people have taken off and they produce this stuff for Netflix. We think we can do that. But the problem is, you know, how do we get funding from the government? I said, well, why are you only looking at the government? I said, because if you have a viable something that might be attractive to audiences that you could make money off, why not present it as a business proposal? Because in a situation like that, somebody could have a film project that they think could be big or some kind of business, something that could be really successful. It could be one of those things that qualify for funding in this way. And maybe a short-term loan, you can get $500,000 for the project, turn it around, make $700,000-$800,000, pay the people their interest, and boom, you're in business to turn that around and over again, eh?
Yeah, so Bahamians in Caribbean, we've generally understood financing to come from commercial banks, government agencies or family and friends. There are so many other opportunities out there. And BDB has just said, you know what, we're going to lead the way of finding these opportunities and helping entrepreneurs understand it. Because if you look internationally, you may have language barriers, you may have just barriers of understanding information. And we're saying, you know what, we're meeting with these persons all the time. We all speak the same language. We all understand each other. Why can't we use their opportunities of financing to help Bahamians? And so we've seen this happen with larger projects, $20 million developments for just developing land. We've seen that happen. We've also seen that happen for hotels. International funds come. Why can't we do that more directly into small, medium businesses in the Bahamas? And so especially with the medium to large area, we want to provide more opportunities for those as well when it comes to the international financing.
And you know what I like about what you're doing, Mr. Higgs, you say this is just your year one as managing director of the bank?
Yeah, my first year ends this month. And so we're happy with what we've accomplished in that first year.
Interesting. What I like about it is you're saying, you know, okay, maybe BDB don't have unlimited funds, but there are others we can partner with to bring funds to clients in the country. And that's just brilliant.
Exactly. And with my board and our chairman, Senator Quinton Lightbourne, they're all on the same page. So from the top straight down, we're on the same page of innovation, new ways of financing and helping as many entrepreneurs as possible.
Okay. And how active has the bank been, say, in the last year in terms of providing support? What is the bank seeing in terms of even its clients and their performance over, say, the period of your tenure?
So we have been in a fundraising effort. So when I joined the bank, the whole goal was to get as much financing as possible. And I'm excited to see, I hope to come back to your show within the next month and a half with even bigger news we've done, but I don't want to announce until the ink is completely dried. But when it comes to the direct lending, the bank is we're in a fundraising effort to try and raise more funds for more direct lending. So though we're developing this brokerage arm as well to provide that source of funding, we have not forgotten our bread and butter, which is provide direct loans to small and medium businesses across all the islands. So if all goes well, then in the coming weeks, we will see a new announcement on that as well.
But you know what they say, if a bank ain't lending, it ain't no bank, right?
I completely agree. So we have done some things for the last year, but it's not to where we would like to be. When you travel the world and you look at Development Bank of Jamaica, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, and these are all persons we're communicating with, you're seeing we're all a little competitive. We're trying to see who can do more of this, do more of that. And so that area, we're going to expand further and do more in that once some of the ink dries.
Right. Okay. Well, once again, there is an opportunity to learn more about this, to hear from the players. And that opportunity arises when?
June 26th. That's this Monday coming at 6. It starts at 6 o'clock at the National Art Gallery. You can register at our Facebook page, Bahamas Development Bank. You can also email us at sdi@bdb.gov.bs, sdi@bdb.gov.bs. So you can get more information there and register as well.
In any event, remember folks that our National Art Gallery just opposite Xavier's on, what's the street now again? The church, there's Xavier's Cathedral. Right there, that's a historic street. I'm so sorry, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
But you can also call us at 702-5700 if you have more information. And please, this program is not for Nasuvians only. This is across all the islands. And so we'll provide more information and we're going to push this to the family islands as well. We don't only want the person to think this is a Nassau-centric program. This is the launch. And we're going to have many more funds as well, but they're open to Family Island Project as well, which is critical.
Right. And again, open to all the persons who are looking for funding in the orange space, which is the creative, cultural, intellectual space, right?
Correct. And as you know, the Development Bank, we don't create business plans. So persons who are interested, when it's time to apply, it must be clear that the business plans must be ready. You must have your information, your quotes, your due diligence information, and we're providing an intermediary relationship to help you get to this financing. And so Monday, we'll see everybody at 6 p.m., the National Art Gallery. We're very excited to see many persons as possible, stakeholders, those who are currently in the orange economy, the creative space, those who would like to get into it as well, or those who benefit from it as well. We'd love to see you there. Come get the information, pass it on to a friend, and let's try to make sure we get us help as many persons as possible.
And the National Art Gallery is on West Street. That's the downtown part of West Street, near the downtown part. So that's where it is, near Xavier St. Francis Cathedral and the Great Cliff. So you shouldn't have difficulty finding it. Anything you want to say to us, Mr. Managing Director, before you leave?
No, thank you for having me on the call today. We're excited for the more things to come. And please keep track with our social media pages. B2B has so much great things to offer to you, and we're excited for the days to come.
Thank Super. You. And we look forward to continuing this dialogue with you to find out what the bank is doing.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot. Mr. Nicholas Hayes of the Bahamas Development Bank, Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Thank you.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Are you a parent looking to strengthen your family's bond and raise confident, resilient children? Look no further. Cleft of the Rock Foundation presents the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat, June 30th to July 2nd. Immerse yourself in the serene beauty of Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. Picture yourself surrounded by turquoise waters and palm trees. It's the perfect setting for an unforgettable and transformative experience. From the renowned Dr. Bob Barnes, Parenting on Purpose is a comprehensive training program designed to equip you with practical tools and strategies to raise happy, confident children. Dr. Barnes' expertise and passion for families will inspire and empower you. Register today at cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com to secure your spot at this life-changing retreat. Limited spots are available, so don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join us for the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat at Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. We're rebuilding the village, one family at a time.
It's so rewarding with my Fidelity credit card. I get the best prices with price protection. Earn and redeem freedom points at my favorite stores. Get cash back. Plus, I booked a cruise. Get your Fidelity credit card today. Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Now y'all want to tell me it's West Hill Street, opposite St. Francis Xavier Cathedral, then I was searching for it. Thank you. Yeah, West Hill Street. You know, St. Francis Xavier is on West Street Hill, right? Not West Hill Street. West Street Hill. It's West Street. That used to be in my constituency when I was a member of Parliament too, right? That's West Street. And that happens to be a hill, so it's called West Street Hill. All right. So a couple of things I want to mention, talk about today, and hope I don't get myself in no problems. But sometimes, you know, people are sensitive, and you could get yourself in some heat because of it. So Mr. Michael Pintard, who's the leader of the opposition, in speaking to the government's budget during his contribution to the debate, had quite an extensive contribution on it, and was quite critical. He defined the budget as a budget to nowhere. That's how he defined it. He said it was a budget to nowhere. Mr. Pinta was critical of the budget's failure or failing to address issues related to hardships faced by small businesses, to address the challenges that are facing Bahamians in light of inflation, and the rising cost of living. He spoke to his concerns about the budget's addressing of matters related to healthcare system in the country, and the education system. He talked about the fact that really our road to recovery our economic recovery is not the rosy picture that the Progressive Liberal Party administration paints things to be. He pointed to IMF reports, which quoted, risks to the outlook are heavily skewed to the downside, with the chances of a hard landing having risen sharply. This is a direct quote from the IMF. And so he expressed concerns about that. He said, "These rosy economic growth projections, Madam Speaker, are what underpins the government's hopeful 400 million plus increase in revenue." And this brings me to my second point, he said, in addressing the economic performance of small islands like open economies like ours. And so, point of view, the government paints a picture of our economic recovery that is far rosier than perhaps is advisable. He talks to the, he speaks to the fact that he thinks that the budget failed to address the importance of promoting light manufacturing, even though country spends $1 billion on imports almost every, for every item in tourism and domestic sector. He says, I'm not spoken to that. Says that while the government supports the opposite, the government's initiatives concerning food security, there is a concern that the government underestimates the urgency to significantly ramp up crop and livestock production. He spoke to the fact that the country needed to be stronger, and that the Davis administration was, in his words, squandering the increased revenues that have come from reopening of the world and the Bahamian economy. He says that the increased revenue was outstripped by uncontrolled spending. So he has expressed concerns about that. And spoke about the need to build a fair society, and that not enough was being done in that regard. And he levied criticisms on the good governance that he believed was being trumped by politics, and alluded to some broken promises that he says that the Davis administration had. He said the government promised to lower the electricity rate after careful examination of all contributing factors to energy costs. And he said, however, the failure to protect through the hedge program for preferential prices for fuel has resulted in a 163% increase in fuel. He said that the government did not engage in land reform and has done nothing in significant to improve the land reform that was underway, he says. And he talked about the government's failure to safeguard country's patrimony as they promised. He said the government vowed to create an environment that fosters thriving businesses and abundant employment opportunities, yet their rhetoric regarding support for Bahamian small business amounts to mere lip service from his point of view. He points to the inability to provide a breakdown of the supposedly allocated $50 million in the previous budget, he criticized. And he went on and on. He said there was a lack of accountability and transparency, and cited examples of that with reference to the Procurement Act and so forth. So Mr. Pindad did not, in terms of extensive contribution, did not waste his 2 hours. He said every day there's a new tax in the Bahamas. He said that there's a passenger tax amendment bill that will raise passenger taxes, and that all amounts to new taxation in the country. And he then compared the F&M's deficits to the PLP's deficits to the new increased taxes that the government was levying, and then he made some recommendations to the government himself on his engaging public and private partnerships more, on home ownership, and so forth. So it was extensive, but he characterized the government's budget as as a bridge to nowhere. That's what he claimed. That it was a budget to nowhere. Is that what you think? Think the government's budget is a budget to nowhere? You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, we'll talk about it. We'll be back after this break.
Girl, why are you so sweaty?
Girl, I'm getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org
or call 322-1029.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang. Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We're talking about the opposition leader's budget debate contribution. He had a scathing criticism of the budget and at the same time provided some recommendations for what ought to be our focus going forward, but his lead description for the budget was a budget to nowhere. Do you agree with that? Do you support that? Do you think that that is true? From what you have heard, did you listen? Have you been listening? Do you know what the budget says? Do you care what the budget says? Does the budget really matter to you? What do you think? What's going on? Right? You know, there was a time when the budget communication, the budget really was the most, just a fiercely anticipated event, the new budget. Fiercely anticipated. I mean, people would be waiting with bated breath for the budget to happen. I could be dead wrong. I mean, it could be me in terms of my preoccupations or that kind of thing, but I don't get the sense that people are as anticipatory of the budget as used to be. And again, like I said, that could entirely be me. Do you think that's true? Do you think people were really just like waiting, couldn't wait to see what was in the budget? Because I remember. I mean, maybe it was just that I was involved at the time. So maybe that mattered too. This text says, Mr. Lang, I heard nothing about getting Grand Bahama restored. We started. We have too much contracted workers in major multi-million dollar companies. People are working in these jobs, but that's as far as they go. They can never buy a home, get a loan for a car, or even sometimes rent an apartment, being a casual worker. The government, too, is also guilty of this practice. It leaves the economy stagnant. Lending agencies can't lend money. Homes can't be built. Construction is down. Real estate is down. So what are you saying? Are you agreeing that the budget where? Or are you saying, independent of that, I just want to make these observations. This text says, great show as usual. My light bill almost tripled last month. I hate to see my bill in August, which is the hottest month of the year. I saw my light bill. I asked my woman who left the AC on because the bill can't be this high. So now that's the radio version of what I told her. The light bills are up. The light bills are up. Oh, the light bills are up. Ain't no question with that. Now, I can tell you I am grateful because the light bills are up, but my light bill ain't up as much as it used to be and could be up because of the measures and steps that I took. But the light bills are surely up because we're using more air conditioning for sure, right? And so the light bills are definitely up. Mr. Pintard says that the budget is a budget to nowhere. He essentially believes that the revenue forecasts are really what will make or break the budget. And he's right. I mean, because if you look at the government's expenditure, the government's expenditure is up. It's not down. Government did not reduce expenditure. Expenditure is up about a couple of million dollars. Not much at all, but it's up a little. And if the government forecast does not hold, that $400 million plus it expects to get, if that does not hold, then the government will, in fact, have a difficult time achieving its budget targets. There's no on the deficit side. There's no question about it. If they do hold, though, actually, this budget, the numbers, if the budget numbers hold, the budget is headed in the right direction. The deficit will be significantly down. That means the growth rate of the national debt will be significantly down. And so the government will be headed, in terms of its own financial arrangements, in the right direction. So that's the broad picture of it. It's just on that $400 million additional monies forecasted. Now, here's the thing. If the government follows through on the passenger tax increases, it is going to likely collect multiple millions of dollars more. There's no question about that. So that could be a significant part of the revenue increase, right? That new taxation could be a significant part of the revenue increase that the government experiences. If the government follows through on a corporate tax regime for the Bahamas, that too could provide it with additional capital. Now, the portion of the budget forecast that might be a problem is the portion that relies on the buoyancy of the Bahamian economy, the growth of the Bahamian economy. Now, the opposition leader makes a point that I have made several times before, not recent times, but I've made it before. The growth rate of the over the last 3 years is real, but has to be looked at in context. Those growth rates are artificially high because we had an artificially low performing economy. We voluntarily turned down our economy substantially, not a little bit, plenty. We shut down plenty businesses as we were trying to contain COVID. So once you, if nothing fundamentally injured the economy so that workers couldn't work and employer and suppliers couldn't supply and what have you, if it was only a matter of voluntarily turning things down, when you turn things up again, you would have naturally expected a robust return because people want to get back to making that money. People want to get back to being able to engage those economic activities. So that growth rate of 14% and 8% and 6% and stuff, that was artificial and was never reflected of a truly robust Bahamian economy because prior to COVID, the Bahamian economy was not well. It had unemployment rate of in excess of 10% or a little around 10%. That's not a very healthy economy. Its growth rate was hovering around 2% or thereabouts. Not bad, but not robust. And so what we are now returning to is that kind of growth rate. And the question is, are we really soaking up both the unemployment generated by the COVID measures and the unemployment rate that existed prior to COVID? Because it is that will produce a truly robust Bahamian economy. And I submit to you, we are not even close to that. You're not close to it, but there are definitely signs that in tourism, things are healthy and that's good promise. But what that means for the kind of economy that could, in fact, generate a 20-something% increase in revenue, or close to 20% increase in revenue, is yet a different story. And so, is it a budget to nowhere? Well, I don't know. I don't know what to nowhere means, other than if the leader of the opposition is saying where those things that we need to accomplish, the things that we want to make a dent in, the things that we want to improve, that the budget doesn't help us get there. Well, there's something to be said for that as well. And I've said it before, but we visited maybe when we return. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. She listens after the news.
Together through the storm, whatever weather,
keep
the faith, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 4316. You can text me on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. So we were talking earlier about the government's budget and the opposition's comments about the budget. The opposition believes it's a budget to nowhere. I was asking you your thoughts on the matter. Didn't get many comments in that regard, but no problem. The minister responsible for national insurance had an extensive presentation on national insurance, and he indicated that, well, in his contribution, he seemed to indicate that that the NIB rate was going to go up by 1.5 percentage points. Point, okay? Points. 1.5 percentage points. Now, again, you have to understand 1.5 percentage point is not the same as 1.5%. It's much different. So let me give you an example. Right now, the contribution rate paid, unless the NIB's website is wrong, rate paid by yourself, by myself, as an employee, is 3.9%. So we pay 3.9% of our insurable wage up to $740. So if you don't make $740, you don't pay 3.9% of $740. So let's say you pay 3.9% on a wage of $400. Okay? So 3.9% of that is $15.60. $15.60 you would pay to NIB, right? If what the government proposes holds, the insurable rate will go up to 5.4% for an employee. 4% for an employee. Now, if the insurable rate goes up to 5.4%, right? That's like that would be an increase in your rate of not of 1.5%. It wouldn't be an increase of 1.5%, but it'd be an increase of higher than 1.5%. Right? And so that's why we make the distinction between percentage point difference and percent difference. Don't get caught up in it. I'm just trying to say to you, you are not getting an increase of 1.5%, which might seem rather small. You're getting an increase that is higher than 1.5% because the percentage point is going up. It's going up by what the percentage point is going up by about 38%. That's what it's going up by. That's what the increase would be, about 38%. All right? So again, so if you're paying the $15 now on $400, what will you pay after the 1.5 percentage point increase? You will pay on your $400, you'll pay $21.60. $21.60, which is essentially a $6 difference. Okay, that's what you would pay. And that's for the employed persons, not the self-employed persons who pay basically 8.8%. So if that goes up for them by 1.5 percentage point, they'll then pay they would pay 10.3% on their insurable wage. All right, now The minister also seemed to hint that one could expect this rate increase to happen, a rate increase to happen practically every 2 years. Now, I told you all before, and I said, listen, if there is a delay in applying a rate, you are going to pay more to make up and catch up than you would pay if the schedule was not delayed. I did listen and hear the Prime Minister say, for those who said that that was going to be the case, that that would not be the case. And to the extent that he does not and they do not intend to raise the rate above 1.5 percentage point in the at the beginning, that is true. The fact that there is a consideration for this rate being increased every 2 years, that's to catch up with the delays. Not just the Davis administration delays, that's to catch up with the delays in the Minnis administration, the Ingram administration, all them delays, that's what it's for. So the fund can survive. And so you will pay more quicker and sooner so you can catch up. And that's reality. And that's a fact. We kicked that can down the road. And when I said we, the Ingram administration, even though it did some things to delay and support the fund, no question about that. The Ingram administration, the Christie administration, the Minnis administration, kicking that can down the road, and the Davis administration will cause there to be a more aggressive solution to saving the fund. And that's what we're going to see. Now, the Prime Minister's thing will kick in July 1. So July 1, there should be, expected to be a 1.5, not percent, but percentage point increase in the rate contribution. And that is about a 38%+ increase in the rate. Not a 1.5%. It ain't that small. It's 38% increase in the rate. It's 1.5 percentage point increase in the rate. This text says the budgets are not innovative, just same old song and dance. They speak nothing of our middle class slowly slipping into despair or our lower class into oblivion. We don't encourage entrepreneurs and men Bahamians can somehow afford to join the market, Airbnb, but for example, we get taxed. When Life with Key and those places were founded on the Airbnb principles. It's just a patched job. It doesn't fix our real problem of poverty. We celebrate 50 years of independence, but many countries that were once considered otherwise outhouses have tied their laces and made necessary changes of moving their country into the 21st century. A country like Singapore, as a perfect example, was in turmoil in 1965, and by the 1990s, it turned into an economic powerhouse with a free market economy and phenomenal trading ties. While a number of your observations and thoughts, you are painting a far rosier picture of other countries, including Singapore, whose Minister of Finance contribution I played for you, who's complaining about some of the same problems the Bahamas is complaining about. In fact, one of his statements, he said that these Bahamian businesses these Singaporean business people have to stop looking to the government to rescue them. That's what he said, the Minister of Finance said. So I'm not one of those who get on this rosy picture painted of Singapore and these other countries. Man, almost all of us are faced with the same chronic dilemmas, high deficits, rising debt, and so forth, all of us. But I do want to say this, though. One of the challenges you have, as so many of us have, is what makes any of us think any budget of is 1 year's revenue spending plan, 1 year, 12 months. Why does any of us think that that is going to be a game changer for the country in terms of poverty, in terms of prosperity? Oh, my man, no. If you want to see game-changing stuff in that regard, you have to look two places. Look to government policies, not so much the government's budget itself, but government's policies that encourage economic growth and development. Policies that help capital flow in the country. Policies that help capital flow into the country. Policies that help businesses get up and running quicker. Policies that help businesses do their business more efficiently. Policies that help businesses access broader markets than the Bahamian market. Policies that help businesses when they need to make adjustments and adapt better. Policies that help businesses find ways to have more cost effective, that help businesses innovate more, to help employees develop their skill set better. Look for things like that from the government. Don't look for the government's raising money and spending money to be a game changer in a country. Really? Seriously? You can only look to those things incrementally to help. But for game changing, you think Singapore is what it is because of its government budget? That would be too. No. Secondly, you have to look to the private sector. What are you doing? What is the private sector doing? We keep screaming the government. Anytime I hear you screaming government, you are not an entrepreneur. You ain't no entrepreneur, Jack. There ain't no entrepreneur in the Bahamas sitting around waiting for the government. Not an entrepreneur. Maybe someone trying to get some government money. Not no entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs make it happen, despite sometimes the government. We have a quick caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing, sir?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
All right. Before I ask the question, I wanted to ask. When you're talking this now about the government, Mr. Lang, when the hopeful politicians walking around campaigning, do they campaign on making the economy better? Do they campaign on them type things? Do they campaign on the same things that?
Always.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you're saying the same thing they campaign on is the same thing you're saying they can't deliver.
But I said that? Me?
No, I said it's not how you were talking. Like you were saying you had to look to the private sector, et cetera, because the government can't work that miracle to do or whatever the case would be. Something like that, right? You understand what I'm saying, you know?
Here's the thing. See, here's the thing. Just hear me out, please. Right?
Yes, sir.
I don't care what a politician promises.
Mm-hmm.
If we are not smart enough to understand how the economy works,
yes,
then we are going to be fooled.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Lang, I mean, what you said just now is critical because you said just
right.
Now, if we don't understand how the economy works, and the average Bahamian doesn't.
I agree with you 100%.
Yes, sir. So my point is that when you said that we shouldn't listen to what the politicians say and whatever when they come. But see, Mr. Lang, if someone come around campaigning that they're going to make the economy better, et cetera, especially the one like me who is ignorant about how government runs, right, I'm going to believe them. And see, and that's what I feel as if, Mr. Lang, it's wrong that positions like MP, et cetera, like those positions to me supposed to be positions of integrity. You know what I mean? Like anyone who holds those positions shouldn't be telling lies when they're campaigning. You see,
No, because I'm not suggesting a politician is telling lies.
A government, no.
A government can be helpful and instrumental in helping an economy grow and develop. So if you say that we are going to have policies that help entrepreneurs, that help economic activity, that help investment inflow, that makes sense. You can make that promise.
Okay, yes, sir. Well, I'm only saying in general, Mr. Lang, because there's a stigma that politicians say what they think we want to hear when they're campaigning. So all I'm saying is all I'm saying is that should be done away with, and we should have individuals walking around speaking nothing but the truth, and everything that they speak, they should be willing to be held accountable for if and when they are elected into the House.
I agree with you.
I just can't understand how is it that we could have like institutions like the government and like the church, et cetera, and then we look at these institutions and the men who lead these institutions, we look at them with you know, suspect. You know, that kind of, I mean, it shouldn't be like that. You know what I mean? The individuals who hold these positions in these institutions, they should be men who we hold in high regard and who we feel as if we could trust at all times, and everything they say we should take as the truth. You know what I mean, Mr. Knight? That's how I personally feel about that, right? But me and you, we had a little brief talk about the national insurance thing the other day, Mr. Lang. I didn't choose to, like, go on it any deeper because I wanted to get another point in. But I'll be talking about the national insurance thing now. When did national insurance come into it? When did national insurance start, Mr. Lang?
In 1973.
Okay, so it's been about 50 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Because, I mean, when I was talking to you last time about it, I was telling you the lady from National Insurance, like I say, really represented the place where she was really well-spoken, and she spoke.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So,
yeah.
But she was saying like 70 years, so that 70 years even didn't reach yet. Like in terms of how long the National Insurance scheme or National Insurance to do was supposed to be.
That was based on, you know, at the time you could only have projections based on what you know.
I'm sorry, listen to me, let me tell you something.
In the economics business we're in, forecasting is something you do in financial business. You forecast. But you have to revise your forecast regularly. That's why you are here. You are here, for instance, the IMF said the world economy is going to grow by 3%. Then, 6 months later, IMF revises its forecast to
4.4%. Yes, sir. But I wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Lang. Like, when you were talking about, when you work out the numbers, it's now about the percentage point versus, like, what a real percentage is, et cetera.
Yes.
And you gave the dollar value if someone was making, I think, $400 a week, right?
Yes.
So what, like what, I mean, because, you know, in the Bahamas, salary doesn't really increase too often around here. You know,
a person
who's been making the same amount of money for years.
Yes.
So I wanted you, I wanted you, if you could do us a favor, please, like those of us who might be interested in, as myself, and can you work out what it would be over those, the 10 increases, like I think it's every 2 years, so that's like 20 years or something, right?
I can do that for you. Let me come back from the break, I'll have it for you.
Yes, sir. Can you add, like what would be the amount that would be coming out of the person's salary by that point? Because, see, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how long or how much or how far or how much they're willing to take from the average individual for this fund to survive. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to figure, is there a limit? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's gonna, if it reaches to the point where it takes 50% of the person's salary, is that still okay? I mean, if you understand what I'm asking, Mr. Lang.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
So thank you very much, Mr. Lang. I must say, you have a very good show. Very informative.
Thank you, my brother.
And we learned a lot from you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it very much.
Mr. Lang. You have a good day, yeah?
You too, sir. Thank you very much,
Mr. Lang.
Okay, man. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you a parent looking to strengthen your family's bond and raise confident, resilient children? Look no further. Cleft of the Rock Foundation presents the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat, June 30th to July 2nd. Immerse yourself in the serene beauty of Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. Picture yourself surrounded by turquoise waters and palm trees. It's the perfect setting for an unforgettable and transformative experience. From the renowned Dr. Bob Barnes, Parenting on Purpose is a comprehensive training program designed to equip you with practical tools and strategies to raise happy, confident children. Dr. Barnes' expertise inspires and empower you. Register today at cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com to secure your spot at this life-changing retreat. Limited spots are available, so don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join us for the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat at Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. We're rebuilding the village, one family at a time.
tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Again, so glad today. So the caller who called just now was asking me to calculate how much would be taken out of your pay after 10 years if they did the 1.5% every 1.5% every year. For 10 years, well, you'd start off paying, as I indicated, that $6 difference, and by the time as the 10 years arrive, you'll be paying $64, right? So it'd be $64. Of that in 10 years. Now, that's only provided that's what happens, and that depends on whether the rate is 1.5 percentage point increase and whether that rate continues to be 1.5 percentage point increase for the period of time. Okay? I was listening to Dwight Strong's show today, and I was listening when Dwight and Lois were talking about the fact that Minister Joe Beth Coast, that that the government had raised taxi rates in the country, and had raised taxi rates in the country, and that she had indicated that the PLP was the ones that raised the rate, that the PLP was the ones that raised the rate the last time, and that the folk in the parliament on the government side started clapping, 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 clapping. And so I thought that that was, so Dwight thought that that was so funny, because how do you raise rates that way? And it's a thing to be applauded. Honestly, I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, this is interesting, because, you know, I told you before, Leslie Miller, when they were on the campaign trail, several times in a rally speech would say to people, the Shivago line was the one who gave them the gas dealers a margin increase. So blame him for the high prices of gas. That's exactly what he used to say. Exactly what he used to say. Blame him for it. And I solicited a laugh, right? Because it was true. It was true. I raised the margin, but at the time, the prices didn't go up at the pump because the prices were going down, and I timed it that way. But he did say that. Now, the Progressive Liberal Party is raising taxi rates, and it's an applaudable affair. It's something you can applaud. How does that work? Exactly. How does that work, right? So I said to myself, okay, so this is a calculation. Well, you know, most banks don't use taxis. So if you increase the rate, you know, most Bahamians aren't going to feel that, because most Bahamians drive their own vehicles. So only those, and who are the Bahamians who are likely to be driving taxis? Poor Bahamians. Poorer Bahamians. Not only, but poorer Bahamians are typically the ones who would use it, who don't have vehicles. They'll be using taxis. But it ain't a lot of them. So there's not a lot of them to cry. In fact, Bahamians coming in from the Family Islands, probably the most Bahamians too who use taxis. And so when a caller called in the Dwight Show and said that the rate from the airport to Stapleton was $65, he get robbed. Yeah, he get robbed. I take the taxi every now and again, in recent times, from the airport to further than Stapleton, because I sometimes go to the University of the Bahamas. I never pay $65. In fact, the most I've ever paid to take that trip was $30. I have argued that they change the price on you. Sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's 25, but I've never paid $40, $50, $60, never. So that person got robbed. And trust me when I tell you, there are some taxi drivers who will rob you if they don't think you know better. They will definitely do that, because they don't have no meters. No meters are on. I don't even understand why you're giving people a rate increase when you no meter. So they say there's a fixed rate. A fixed rate from where? Which, like, how does that work out exactly? What's fixed rate? Oh, if you go on somewhere in the downtown area, it's X, Y, and Z. If you go on somewhere, well, if that's true, why doesn't somebody have a schedule in the taxi drive, in the taxi cab? Why is there no schedule? I am not theorizing about this. I catch taxis. I do. In Nassau. In Freeport from time to time. Nobody has a schedule of any rates at any zones or any distances that you travel. There's nobody at the airport, like in some countries in Europe where you go. You can go to an attendant at the airport and ask, I'm going to play X, Y, and Z. What should I expect to be charged? And they will tell you. They will tell you. That's not happening here, right? But it has never been $45, $50, $60, $65. I've never paid that kind of money. But it will cost you more. And it will cost some Bahamians more. But this is an applaudable affair. And what I find interesting about it is the taxi drivers can get a rate increase, but not the bus drivers. How come? Taxi drivers drive vehicles that use gas. And the taxi drivers argue that they are faced with higher gas prices. so they need a rate increase. Don't buses drive vehicles that require diesel and gas? And hasn't the rate gone up for them as well? But it's more difficult to give a rate increase to the buses. Why? Masses of poor people use the buses. Masses of lower income people use the buses. Not exclusively, but massive numbers of them. That becomes a different political cry. That becomes a different public cry than the taxis. Taxis are also unique in the Bahamas in terms of the politics of the country. Don't let nobody fool you about that. Taxis have played a seminal role in some agitations in the country, in the Black Tuesday and others and so forth and so forth. So they have space than bus drivers. That's a different group and class of people in some regard when it comes to the politics of life in the Bahamas. So giving them something versus giving the bus drivers, that could be a part of the play here. But in terms of policy, there is some irrationality there if the taxis get a increase and not the bus drivers get an increase and not the gas dealers get a margin increase. Because all of them are faced with inflationary pressures that are wreaking havoc on their businesses, they say. But it was something to be applauded. I just could not conceive of an announcement for taxi increases if the PLP were in opposition, I couldn't see them applauding that. And I couldn't see the FNM applauding it now that they're in opposition, because they would know. When you announce these increases, you know, you do them sometimes because you think they're necessary, but to do them in a way where it as an achievement, that can only mean that you think that that will accrue to your benefit in some way. That's really, really how you have to read that, right? But the minister took the bull by the horn and gave the increase. The government did that. And so people will pay higher prices in terms of taxi rates. The minister promises to clean up some stuff with respect to taxi rates. And I heard some of the things that they want to clean up in terms of dress and appearance and all that kind of stuff. How about we just start with if you're not going to require them to have an actual meter, and a functional meter, how about a dashboard mandatory sign that has the rates that apply? What is the rate that's increasing that I should know? How will I know that rate is being applied when I am in the taxi? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call him and listen to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Hey, right there, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic, fantastic. I just wanted to call in Dwight Chill this morning about the taxi rate. It seems we have an error in dissemination of information, because it's not the taxi rates, you know. You and Dwight are right about the unscrupulous taxi drivers. You know, you have some of them. And I am a taxi driver, but you have to understand, if you travel, the taxi rates in the Bahamas are some of the lowest taxi rates in any tourist destination that you will travel to.
I can't even argue that. You might be absolutely right.
Yeah. So it goes hand in hand with your previous caller about inflation. And, you know, people, they might debate about our profession and, you know, what it entails. But we provide a service. We're the ambassador for the country. We're the first person that you receive and the last person that you receive. And truth be told, we could charge our regular rates, and with our service, they would give us what we want. But again, most taxi drivers are lazy, and they just want to, you know, cut the head off of the tourists. But I really call to say that most of the general public is misinformed about the taxi rates globally.
But brother, since you're a taxi driver, and I'm so glad you called, because this would be helpful. Forget the taxi rates globally, though. Forget it globally. Like, what's the rate here? Let us know what our rate is.
The rates are published and gazetted online for anybody to go and download.
No, man. When I walk in a food store, they post the price. When I go in another store, they post the price. If I walk in a taxi in the U.S., there's a meter. If I go in the Uber, I check the Uber tells me what the rate is for where I'm going. Tell me you, the supplier, tell me what the rate is.
Mr. Lang, you hit it on the head. There's a meter. The meter states every eighth of a mile, there's $3 or whatever. We are not
My brother, I never been in a taxi in the Bahamas in the recent years that had no meter running.
I'm saying we're not obligated as public service drivers to have a public display of our RAT. You are, as a customer, you have to go your due diligence and go online and check the rate. Now, if we overcharge you, you could stop any stop you stop to. You could go to the police and say, officer, this gentleman overcharged you. And then we'll get
Where's the rate you said? Where do you go?
You could go right on the road traffic website, and there's a taxi rate public. Or you could Google taxi rates in the Bahamas. They have a full schedule of taxi rates in every zone. Yes.
Okay, excellent. Yes. I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much.
Yes. All right. No,
okay, appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. We're going to take a break. That was very helpful for this break.
To Cali, BK style with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, all served on a toasted brioche bun. The California King Collection packs a tidal wave of flavors and is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So thanks to our taxi driver who called. Thank you very much. There is a Ministry of Transport, Aviation, and Local Government zoned taxi cab fares for Nassau/New Providence as of December 2004. Notice there's only Nassau/New Providence. Nothing here in the Family Islands. I don't see the Family Islands because they don't. So what's the highest fare that a taxi driver can charge under the current rate, not the new rate? $39. Bro, if you got charged $65, you get robbed. Because apparently the highest rate you should and could have been charged was to go from Montague Shores to South Ocean. That's the highest rate, and that rate is $39. The next highest rate you could be charged is $37. And that's like going from Montague Shores to Lyford Key. And then from South Ocean Beach to Paradise Island, that's $37. The next highest is $35. And that's like going from Lyford Key to Paradise Island. Or from going from Paradise Island to Lyford. Yeah, that's the same thing, the Lyford Key. So, and then there's $33 for if you go to, from Prince George Dock to South Ocean, that's $33. And you know, $65 on this. All right. So if anyone charging you $65 to go from the airport to Stable and Garden, they rob you. In fact, to go from the airport to downtown is only $22. To Prince George Dock is $22. Okay, so no $65 is in the rate. That's why I tell you, people, they don't joke around. if they see you coming, they will take you for a ride, right? They will take you for a ride, right? Oh boy, it's laughable sometimes. Right? You're laughing, right? All right. the other thing is the government did announce a gun amnesty, and gun amnesty works like where. If you turn in a gun, you won't be prosecuted for the period of the amnesty. And you may even, in fact, get some funds for it. And the question is that a useful thing to do? Are they effective measures for helping with gun control? Here's what I say. Some people believe they don't make no sense because the criminals who really use the guns aren't going to turn them in. Some people, like the minister says, well, someone might have come into possession of a gun not by any nefarious means or for any nefarious purpose. They may have gotten it for protection, but now if they're given an opportunity to turn it in and not get prosecuted, they may be willing to do that, and that's one gun off the street. Here's my thing. Possession of guns in the Bahamas, other than has been authorized by the Minister of National Security or the Prime Minister or the government, let's put it like that, is illegal. Possession of a gun is illegal. It don't make no difference why you have it. It's illegal. an illegal weapon is a potential deadly weapon, whether by accident or by deliberate use. It can be deadly. If the government says, I'm going to put up $100,000 to get guns off, to get weapons in, well, okay, hey, if that gets one weapon off the street that cannot kill somebody, I'm good with that. If nobody turns in the weapon, so what? The money isn't going to just disappear. You just don't use the money. So what's the problem? If it was me, if I'm going to do an amnesty program, I'm going big, really big. How about $2 million? How about three? Try and get as many officers. You might even discover that some of them buggers turning in the guns are trying to use your amnesty to turn over money as they smuggle in. Maybe that might give you an opportunity to catch that ring too, right? But amnesty programs are one of, it's not, because sometimes the way people talk about these programs that the government presents is as if it's the only thing the government is doing. So the police don't have no intelligence going on. The police don't have any operations going on. The police don't have any investigations going on. The only thing the police is hoping to get the guns off the street is the government's amnesty program. That's nonsense. That's not true. The police is doing multiple things through their various branches, whether that's SIB or the Central Intelligence Unit or the drug unit or the gang unit, so many things. This just happens to be another thing that could help. Could help. So I'm not going to be critical of it other than to say, Charlie, if it was me, I was getting bigger. 100 grand? No, I made a pump on 100, 1.5, 1 million, 1 million and a half. Whatever. It helps. Whatever one helps. Some of these weapons may be in the hands of young people looking for a couple of dollars for their parents and them to do something. And maybe, and it helps. It's not a gun on our streets. It's a gun that is not going to kill anybody. That's for sure. We know that for sure. And if you don't have the amnesty, that don't stop the gun from being on the street. So you say, oh, the amnesty ain't going to wait, so don't worry about that. Is not having it going to get a gun off the street? Not one single gun. So while the police has their dock operations, has their airport operations, and has gone to look for gun smuggling, okay, so you add an amnesty program to that and for that. No problem. Ain't no thing. There's no way to lose in that. How do you lose? Tell me, how does an amnesty program cause you to lose? Somebody say, oh, well, I'm going to encourage people to go get guns. All right. But if it encourages them to go get a gun and you collect the gun, well, even if they bring the gun in from the other place in the world, that shows you they can get the gun, because they can get the gun. Then it ain't available to shoot one of us, even in the other place in the world or somebody else in that country. How is that a downside? How is that a downside? You say, oh, but it didn't make no big dent. So what? So because something doesn't make a big difference is a reason why it should make some difference. You wouldn't make some difference because something doesn't make a big difference. I just don't see the downside of it. I mean, maybe there is, and I don't see the downside. This text says, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The burden shouldn't be on the government to find work or jobs, but if they are not working to encourage a flow of new money into our economy, then the government will end up taking on that burden, either overhiring or social services, yes. Not looking for government to bail out business, but they shouldn't be the cause of discouraging growth in the private sector because of unprofessionalism and corruption. Whatever happened to the one-stop shop that you had started in your last term in office, where all government agencies would be able to communicate with each other instead of having to go to five different offices? I submit my papers, and once finance is done, it's just a click and it's on the registrar office and minister works. This is the type of innovation I need for Bansi to help farmers get rid of their products through a network of vendors in need of fresh supplies, whether local or overseas. not to buy it from them. That's beautiful. I can't argue with that at all. That is absolutely the way to go. And you're so right that having a one-shop stop mechanism for doing business, I mean, it just it's not just government though. You have to replicate so many things in this country. My God, you go to banks sometimes, you go to insurance companies sometimes, and you have to replicate over and repeatedly. Even if you are a long-standing customer, you got to replicate this and replicate that. You just feel like, man, you're spinning wheels over and over and over again. We shouldn't have to. And as I said, a basic example of that, every day I get approved as a citizen. When the people got a record of my being a citizen right there sitting in the government office. Why your database can't say you are a citizen? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, so glad that you could join us today. I pray and hope that you have a wonderful evening. God bless. He says life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. You've been listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabago Language. Take care.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.